At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with the New World Report. And I'm very privileged to be joined by Alejandro Pena Esclusa, a Venezuelan writer and geopolitical strategist, observing his home country. He's traveling in Europe. As it goes through these twists and turns, dealing with an illegitimate president and his brutal regime, at the same time dealing with the neighborhood and the region and the Western Hemisphere, and the anxiety about military intervention. You will all recall for some weeks now, we're told there's been a flotilla, a very powerful flotilla of the United States Navy somewhere between Puerto Rico and the coast of Venezuela. The illegitimate President Maduro has responded belligerently and oddly. Belligerently ordering his militia armed, belligerently ordering his army to the coastline, belligerently staging a parade in Caracas with tanks, and then, oddly, writing a letter to the President of the United States saying, let's negotiate whatever it is you believe that can be done. Joining me now, Alejandro, to explain to me these machinations and how the people of Venezuela are hearing them. Alejandro, before we get into the substance of the letter, how are the people of Venezuela suffering with shortages? They lack food security. They lack medical security. Their education system has been trashed. How are they dealing with these uncertain moments between the U.S. Navy, the White House, and Maduro? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you for the invitation, John. Venezuela is suffering the historical humanitarian crisis like no other country in Latin America has suffered before. That's why almost 9 million Venezuelans were forced to flee out of the country, to escape the country. Many of them because they were persecuted, and others because they don't have means to survive in the humanitarian crisis. The only people who do have means to survive are the people around the regime of Nicolas Maduro. So the situation is very bad, and people do want a change. And they are very optimistic, the Venezuelan population, about a U.S. intervention in Venezuela for a regime change, which already has been decided by the population of Venezuela the 20th of July of last year, when they voted not for Maduro, they voted for Edmundo González and Maria Corina Machado, and Maduro just stole the elections. And not happy with that, he's repressing, he's violating human rights, he's committing crime against humanity, and he's the head of the most powerful drug cartel in the world, the Cartel of the Suns. So his fate, Maduro's fate, has been sealed last week when Donald Trump and the United Nations and the 80th General Assembly said clearly that he will not permit Nicolas Maduro to flood the United States with drugs, which is an irregular warfare waged by the Cartel of the Suns against the American population. So Maduro is worried, Maduro is desperate, and that's why he wrote this letter to President Donald Trump.
The letter was rejected by the White House, the quote, full of lies. What did the letter contain? What is Maduro claiming is his right to continue as president?
Well, he doesn't say he robbed the election and that Edmundo González is the elected president of Venezuela, of course. The most important things of the letter is not what he said, but what he didn't say about himself, about violating human rights and all of that. But he said certain, let's call it half-truth. He said that Venezuela is not a drug-producing country. That's right. Venezuela has laboratories, but the 67% of the cocaine production is in Colombia, not in Venezuela. And then he said a lie, and he said that most of the drugs are coming to the United States through the Pacific Ocean, in which Venezuela has no coast. That's a lie also. But how is it that Venezuela, or the cartel of the Suns run by Maduro, able to push to distribute 20% of the cocaine consumed in the Western Hemisphere if Venezuela is not a drug-producing country? Well, very simple. All drug cartels, like the Jalisco cartel, the Sinaloa cartel, the FARC cartel in Colombia, they send their drugs to Venezuela. And Maduro uses the military, the airports, the ports, all the state infrastructure to distribute, to send the drugs to Africa, Europe, the Caribbean, Central America, and the United States. So he lied, Maduro lied. And that's why the White House speaker said that the letter was rejected, that there was not going to be any negotiation, and that the letter was full of lies.
The New York Times publishes a piece in these last hours entitled "Fear and Hope in Venezuela as U.S. Warships Lurk." Subhead: on a visit to Venezuela, the Times found a nation bracing for potential U.S. military action. My understanding in these last days, and you've given me to understand that this is well known, is that Mr. Gonzalez, the elected president, and Ms. Machado, the leader of the opposition, have both conveyed to the United States that they are welcome to help rid themselves of Maduro and his regime, and that the people of Venezuela stand back and wait for the U.S. to help in any fashion. Is that all correct? How has that been communicated to Washington?
And this was communicated not only to Washington, but to the General Assembly of the U.N., sending a video to the U.N., in which both Maria Corina Machado and Edmundo Gonzalez said it was necessary to get rid of this drug cartel that is usurping the power, taking over the power in Venezuela, and using Venezuela as a platform to export evil, not only drugs, but also terrorism. Venezuela is now, or the government, the regime of Venezuela, is the most important ally of Iran, of Cuba, of Vladimir Putin. So Venezuela today is a platform, the most important platform for all sorts of crimes. And Edmundo Gonzalez and Maria Corina Machado know this, and they're saying, speaking this truth out publicly, and that's what it inferred in the video they sent to the UN. So it's an authorization for the United States to help us, Venezuela, get rid of this drug cartel and to make enforce the decision made by the Venezuelan people the 28th of July of last year about electing Edmundo Gonzalez with the using the rules of the dictatorship. And even though Edmundo Gonzalez won by 40% difference over Maduro, it was a huge victory.
The New York Times article, to characterize it in general, talked to people who welcome the U.S. and do not welcome the U.S. The people who do not welcome the U.S., how would you characterize them? Diplomats, businessmen, they're concerned about the future. Why is it that they want to continue with the present illegitimate regime?
Well, many Venezuelan influencers, if you read the social media and the former Twitter, now X accounts, they say that this article is propaganda, probably paid by the Venezuelan regime, because the journalist says very little about who she interviews. She didn't say names. She says three diplomats. She says is an important entrepreneur. And she doesn't speak about who she interviewed, but the most important, she didn't interview Maria Corina Machado, the leader of the opposition. She should have done that first. And I can tell you this because I speak every day to Venezuela. I read all the information coming. The Venezuelan population is waiting for the United States to intervene as soon as possible and to help us liberate our population from this burden, this dictatorship, this drug cartel. So people do want the United States to intervene. And as soon as that happened, what the article says, which let me tell you, John, the article says that if Maduro were to be killed, then Venezuela would turn into a turmoil like Haiti when the president was assassinated. That's not true. If Maduro is overthrown or extracted, or if he dies for any other reason, there's going to be a national celebration. And there's going to be a government ready to take over power and to turn, as Maria Corina Machado said, this criminal hub into an energy hub for investments up to $1.7 trillion in order to use Venezuela as a center for investment for the Western Hemisphere. So everything is ready for a change. And the Venezuelan people are asking, but why the United States hasn't yet intervened? They would like that to happen today, if possible.
A note that the vice president of the country is quoted in this New York Times article, Delcy Rodriguez, saying she believed that Mr. Trump was leading the world into, quote, a stage where the United States has openly declared war on the world. Is that typical of the rhetoric that's going on in the media in Venezuela, extravagant, fantastic claims like that?
Yeah, and it's not only her. Lula, who is a partner of the Venezuelan regime, is saying that Trump is acting as a world president and not the president of the United States. And Petro, the president of Colombia, also belonging to the Sao Paulo Forum, just like Nicolas Maduro and Lula, is attacking Trump also because they fear that Trump is changing the situation in Latin America against the left, against the cartels who are related to the left, and they attack him. But the population, which is the most important, the Latin American population, they don't want any more these left-wing governments that are becoming dictatorships slowly but surely. And Venezuela is an extreme case, but Brazil is also becoming a dictatorship. And the population do want the help of Donald Trump to liberate us from the Sao Paulo Forum, not only in Venezuela, but in other countries. So how do they react? They react desperately attacking Trump.
You mentioned Gustavo Petro, the president of Colombia. We'll turn to Colombia's troubles because Mr. Petro has been in New York and now he's back in Bogota saying very strange things about the future.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.